Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here with us live. We are interrupting our recorded message to bring it in live tonight. And we are in fellowship in Morristown, Tennessee, in the Passover. It's a wonderful time, praise Yahweh, on May the 14th. And we are moving right along. Well, we had a glorious time. And since this is the 14th day, we have had 14 conversions into baptism in the great, magnanimous, magnificent name of Yahweh. We've had a great time here in Morristown with the Festival of Passover. So wonderful. We are glad that they that come were blessed and that we added 14 precious souls in to the covenant kingdom. Well, today we're going to go into the message on May the 14th in the year 2006. We're going to go into the message of Sabbath. We're going to talk about it. You know, we've been talking about the name, and we've been talking about water baptism in the last two messages, the name and water baptism. And now we'd like to go into a very, very, we think, very important aspect of our nature to worship. You see, did you know that the psychological and the harmonical clock that is plugged into the sons of Adam, that they have what is described as a time to worship? Now, the Bible says that Yahweh, He worked 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. Now, what we're going to determine is which day in the calendar system and what calendar system are we to observe to keep a rest day. It's very important. You see, appointments, you know the seriousness of appointments. If you have a serious appointment with your doctor, with your lawyer, with someone that is very important and you need to keep the appointment, well, you're going to be on time in the correct time. You wouldn't want to keep a doctor's appointment that was scheduled for Monday to keep it on Wednesday because you would be late with the appointment. And so, therefore, we know that our Heavenly Father, and the Bible said to seek Him with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And that's the first commandment. That's in Mark 12:29, where we read the covenant principles. Now, we know that the fourth commandment is to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, there's four divine aspects of His name. The Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, we explained it to you in our last Sunday evening program here on WNQM 1300 AM on your radio dial. So, we're coming to you tonight exclusively with the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. We want to ask you to get your Bibles. We're going into the Bible. We're going to start in the scriptures that indicate what Sabbath's all about. Now, we're going into Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it reads like this: remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. That's the fourth commandment. And by doing that, the Father established a a tradition, if you will, that took precedent over everything that had happened from that time back. Why would he bring back his remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy when he gave it to Moses? Was there evidence that they kept a Sabbath prior to that? Of course there is. And we're going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, to determine the source of the timepiece. Now, we know that in the 13th century, if we look at time, if you've ever studied calendars and you've gone back into time, you've noticed that time has been amazingly, and I wonder why, that it's been changed periodically down through time. The Catholic calendar, which was brought in, and let's start at a date that it was established to become the acceptable calendar of our day, and that's the Gregorian calendar by Pope Gregory in the 13th century. He brought into the Catholic Church, which actually set the precedent for timekeeping in what we know today as the Gregorian calendar. That's the one that you perhaps, probably, without exception in most cases, because all of the time cycles and all of the earth is geared to this calendar. All the nations of the earth are geared to this calendar. All governments of the earth are geared to this calendar. That means that we have a unified feel of the Gregorian calendar to mark time. Now, is it accurate? Of course not. Does it correspond with the biblical truth of how to determine the Sabbath? Of course not. Well, then you say, well, how do we determine the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, or the seventh day? Because we're going to group time into 7 days or a weekly cycle Sabbath. The Bible says that we should work 6 days. Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that Yahweh created the earth in 6 days. Now, whether that's a literal 24-hour time passing sequence or not, we don't know. Some people are thinking that the time was measured by 1,000 years being 1 day. So then, if that's true, then the measurement of time as it applies to calendar systems would not correspond with the way we keep time today. But let's say that from 1 day to the next day, we got 24 hours. Now, we got 12 hours, and the Bible says in the New Testament, and the Messiah confirmed that there's 12 hours in a day. All right? Then there's 12 hours in the night. Then combined the day and the night, because the evening of the morning of the evening was the first day. So in the evening we begin time, and from that aspect we look into the heavens for a timepiece. In 1:14 Genesis, we find that time and signs and seasons were determined by one thing in an aspect, and that was the sun. Now, the solar sun is a measurable timepiece that actually keeps perfect time. Now, we know that the earth, it revolves around the sun. The sun doesn't revolve around the earth, and we know that it takes, in the measured time lapse, it takes 365.25 days for the earth to go around, orbit, if you will, or revolve around the sun. Now, the divisible problem with the Gregorian or the Jewish or the Muslim or any other calendar that recognizes time set by this actually, the time was set by an adjustment. You have to adjust time in these Gregorian applications of time. It has to be adjusted. That means that you have to take a day here and a time or hour or so there and adjust it to keep the 365 1/4 days divisible by 12. We have 12 months in the calendars. Now, the Gregorian calendar goes from 28 to 30 to 31 days within the structured sequence depending on the way that they have come up with a mathematical formula to judge time. Now also, we have what is known as the imaginary line in the earth. And this imaginary timeline is dated, or it is positioned at a place in England, and we now know that this is what we call the dividing line of time in the earth by the Gregorian calendar. With this mathematical system of time as it relates to time, we find that time is out of time. Now, if Satan, who was the author of the finisher of the Babylonian system, to take you out of correct time and put you into incorrect time, the difference in and like daylight and dark, there's a fine line between right and wrong. And so then it takes the wise, those that would search, those that would pray, to restore the correct time in the system that the Father would recognize. You see, the Father's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever by being able to predict His own timepiece in the perfection that He did with the Son cycling through the heavens. 365 days and a quarter. Now, the divisible problem with the mathematical applications of any calendar has this problem to deal with. Well, how did the Father deal? I believe at one time we had a correct 360-day divisible by 12. So that was perfect time. Now, when darkness came upon the face of the earth, and the earth was flooded with the wickedness of man, it caused the earth to wobble on its axis, and it slowed, if you will, or it speeded up in a sense, time from 360 days for the time that it takes for the earth to revolve around. As it slowly slowed down to 365, was a 5 1/4 day difference, gap, in the unbalance of time. Now, what did the Father have to do there? To correct this, He brought in the satellite, the moon. And the moon is the second mathematical equation in the mystery. Now, the moon is for signs, and that's what the Bible says it was for. And He hung this light in the heavens to rule the night. One to rule the day with the stars and their positions in what we call the precession of the equinox as it goes in the revolutionary circles of time. Now, with this, the Father combined the two, and He said that those who are wise, those who will figure, or those who will discern. The Bible specifically says that the sons of Issachar were gifted in knowing the times and the seasons of heaven. So the Father's always had those who had the ability to figure out time. There's no exception today. If you are keeping correct time, not the time of man, not the Babylonian time, not the Jewish calendar time, which is geared to the Gregorian calendar. In other words, they say that Sunday is the first day of the week and Saturday is the seventh day. Well, that's not necessarily true as Yahweh keeps time. And that's where Satan said in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25, it says that they, that would be Babylon, or those who have evil intentions, and that would be the satanic influence, that man would change time to take you out of Yahweh's time and place you into man's time, where that time could bind you. Time could deny you all the blessings that's promised to you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. And the Bible said, make your election and your calling sure. Now, if you do this, remember this in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 28. Remember the Sabbath day, but keep it holy. Exodus 20 and 10. But the Sabbath day is a Sabbath to Yahweh, your Elohim. On it you shall do no work, neither you, your son or daughter, your maidservants, manservants, or your animals, nor any stranger within your gates. Well, isn't that strange that the Father wanted everything to cycle down to rest? Now, the question is, did Yahweh make man for the Sabbath, or was Sabbath made for man? Well, it was the latter here. In this case, Yahweh made the Sabbath day for man. Now, if you'll observe this, and you will pick out the correct time, then Yahweh has promised to meet with you every Sabbath day, and you to meet with Him and join Him as He rests on the correct day. Now, if you're out of time sequence, while He's resting, you perhaps could be working. And when He's working, because He works 6 days, He's got a lot of things to do. He's a very busy creator. And He's full-time. He works 6 days a week, just like you do, perhaps. And on the seventh day, He rests. Now, your problem is to discern or to figure out or to pray, to seek, to ask, and to knock for the correct day to meet Him on His Sabbath day, that you may join Him in fellowship or caught up together, as the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament, to worship together in heavenly places. Well, the heavenly place where we have the sun as the indicator of the solar system and the moon to cycle in the 7-day cycle divided by four. Four sevens is 28, and we have 28 days in what we call the Mayan calendar. It was 13 days. This is the perfect calendar, ladies and gentlemen. Time hadn't changed, and man knew how to keep it, but Satan came in, and he alternated from 28 to 30 to 31, depending on the Roman government, in this case, the Caesars, who set time, Pope Gregory being the last pope in the Roman system, to bring in a mathematical formula where that they could set the time out of time. And those who are unwise, those who are ignorant, and those who are unlearned, those who are fearful to fall into the hands of the correct time, would join up the beast system of Babylon, and when Yahweh's resting, they're working, and when Yahweh's working, they're resting. And that way, you would not be introduced, or you would have no fellowship. And that's why that we proclaim that the seventh day, the Sabbath day, a day of rest, is so important for you, because we're going to read in the Bible, particularly in places where He talks about, if you do not keep the Sabbath, if you will refuse to keep His Sabbath day, then the Bible is going to give you a purpose of direction of judgment. The Bible said that we need to stand before the judgment seat of our Creator. Face Him and look Him in the eye and let Him determine whether we have kept the faith. In Nehemiah chapter 13, when the evening shadows fail, well, ladies and gentlemen, there is something going to happen here to show you that time is kept from evening to evening in scriptural truth. When the evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath. So they begin their Sabbath not at noonday, but they begin it at the evening when they realized that the Sabbath was dawning or coming on. So then the Father in the evening began in time on the cycle of evening, that He would mark that time, and then the day would proceed into the next day until evening, and we would have one full day. Well, the Father's got a divisible mathematical system designed correctly, where man cannot pollute in the heavens with the two signs that He put in Genesis 1:14. One to rule a day and one to rule a night. Now, man has no respect even for the solar. They do not divide equally time in 12 to equal the solar count. They get close. You can take 12 times the system of division, and then you can get the 30 days in the calendar, and that's 360 days, and we're 5 1/4 days short of time. Now, they had to add leap years, or they had to make up for the difference of the system that they had devised, and that's what we call a system of laws, in this case, the law of average. They averaged time at this closest point, and then they added days and took days away. We know that Pope Gregory added 11 days in one place and took away 13 days in another place. Well, you can't add to and take from. He that adds to Yahweh's divine system, the Bible would tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that by doing so, you would have a added to factor where Yahweh would rebuke you because you're not to add to, and of course, you're not to take from. Now, where do we get the process of the keys to the kingdom? Well, we get it in time. If you're out of time, you will miss, as you, the old saying goes, you miss the boat. You miss the worship. You miss the joy. The Bible talks about the joy unspeakable and it also being full of glory. Now, let me give you an instance in the Bible where we have what is known as a time, a purpose, an intention for Yahweh set the Sabbath in the heavens. You can take the lunar aspect. The lunar aspect divided by 12 is 354 days. That means that 11 days have to be accredited to the time sequence to put it back in the system. Well, let's look at the system of the mathematical of 354 days in the lunar, which is what I believe is the correct timepiece in the heavens. 4 sevens are 28. We have perfect rhythm cycles. Even the tides and the gravitation of the earth is affected by the moon. Times, the Bible says, for seasons and for growing. Times and growings and seasons are affected by the time of the lunar application. By that, we mean that the 11 days that is short, and in adding the 354 lunar cycles, then here's how that the Father designed the correction of time. Not the Gregorian, by some pope, but by himself when he said to Moses in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, today is the first day of the month for you. This is the first month of the first day. Well, we know that that was in Abib. Abib is the spring festival of Passover. Today is that day. If you go to the solar count and look at this astrological event, and it's correct in every aspect of perfect measurement, we have what is called the time of the spring equinox. This is a time marked through the astrological and also the time of the time of relationship by bringing into the heavens. The astronomers have determined that there is a conjunction at that point of the equalization of time equaling. The only time that this happens is in the spring when day and night are perfectly matched to time. The coordination is amazing how the Father's done this. So men begin to watch for the time of the equinox. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 20, we read the Hebrew word for tekufu. to Khufu, and its Strong's number application is for those who would have the ability to discern the times. And the Bible said, if you will discern the times, then you'll know that the Father has passed on the knowledge to you that is necessary for you to overcome. Now, his people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And since we're out of the sequence, and since Satan has took us out of the sequence and doesn't want us to perform the time count to appear before Yahweh by taking us out, just like on Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, we appear to him 3 times a year at the appointed time. Now, that's what the moon was for appointments. And we have the cycle of 4 in each month. We have the first, we have the new moon. And a new moon can stay dark. A new moon actually is not the first crescent light. A lot of people think that the new moon is when you see first crescent, and that's not true. The new moon is when the moon goes from one stage of fullness or waning at the last part of the month, and it begins to turn dark. And in some cases, depending on the time, to make up the time that is missing in the 354 days a year, the Father will have us to wait. To wait until we see first crescent light. Now, it can perhaps, in the month, depending on the time of the measurement, that it could stay dark in the new moon up to 3 days. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, that's very confusing, and we don't observe the new moons anymore. That's under the law. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Father, developing time, used a unique system to hold time until he decided it would start on the first day of the week. Well, let's look at the timepiece here in the first quarter. Now, if we keep a new moon, only go to work when you see first crescent light, then if you will work 6 days, you will come to a position of the lunar aspect, and it reveals as a sign or a beacon. The word beacon is a signal. Then it will signal to you that the moon is one half of its light and one half of its darkness. In other words, the globe is illuminated one half exactly in its first quarter aspect and one half dark. Now, any measurable mind can look up and see that the Sabbath would be drawing nigh, or the end of the Sabbath would be drawing nigh, as the case may be. And they kept these lunar cycles in the first quarter. That's the first Sabbath. You work 6 days, you'll come to the first quarter. Now, if you'll rest one day there, that's the seventh day, depending on how you count. If you count 6 days, you're going to keep the seventh day. Well, if you go back to the new moon and count that, that's the eighth day, and that's the mystery that we call the mystery of the eighth day Sabbath. Now, let me give you the word, or the Strong's number, for the word that I just quoted you here, Khufu, which is recorded in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, and verse 20. It's Strong's number, 8622, and it's from the root word, Strong's, in the Hebrew, 5362. So look those two numbers up, and it was, as stated, when time was come. In other words, at the equalization, a point measurably, astronomically, it's measured as what we call the conjunction of the equinox. Now, by that, we go from one period, the first quarter conjunction, we stop work. We keep the first quarter Sabbath, we go to the full moon. That's the second Sabbath in the quarter cycles. Now, we go to the next point, and we have what is called the third quarter. That is your third Sabbath in the month. Now, when the moon becomes down to the point of almost no light in her, we know that the next new moon is drawing nigh. Then we go to the next month and we wait for the changing of the light signal in the heavens. This is nature's calendar, ladies and gentlemen. Never can be proven wrong. And it's the perfect time sequence developed by Yahweh for the sons of Yah to keep His Sabbath days and keep them holy. Now, like I say, if you're out of sequence, if you're out of time, you're out of step with the Creator, and you don't follow Him. The Bible says for us to follow after righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is His divine covenant of the law. Would you rather be a righteous lawkeeper or an unrighteous lawbreaker? Are you under the law or are you outside the law? Well, those who are outside the law or break the law are what we call lawbreakers. You're guilty and punishable by the impending sentence of the magnitude of the violation of that law. If you run a red light in any city, they have a measured prescription for you. You're going to pay a fine. Now, we're getting into the new age of technology, and now the traffic officer doesn't have to be sitting behind the bushes anymore to see you. They photograph you in a camera, take your license tags number, and they'll mail you a ticket and if you don't pay it, then your registration and your tag privileges and perhaps at some point your driver's license or the privilege to drive on the highways could be voided, and you would have to start either being a passenger in an automobile because your driving privileges are revoked. Well, what about driving into the sequence of the Sabbath? That's what we're talking about. If you break those, you're breaking the law, and there's a penalty of death that is imposed upon you. Now, the Bible said, "He that breaks the law died without mercy." How do we look in the Scriptures to find time as it relates back to the Scripture? We're going to go over to the book of Ezekiel, and we're going into the book of Ezekiel for the revelation of something that we believe is very, very important. We're going to teach you how it is that man has denied the laws of Yahweh and broke them, changed them, altered them, and took us out of the sequence, and Yahweh has sent a curse upon the earth for all those that do such things, that there is a punishment invoked upon all them that do such things. In the Bible, it is noted that the Sabbath is one of the commandments. Now, the Bible says, if a man says that he loves God and won't keep his commandments, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. Now, let's go to what is known as the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to start at the 46th verse to confirm the sequential events of the lunar application of time measured only by the proof in the Bible. Let's use the Bible to prove what we just said. Now, let's go to the 46th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to read the first verse. Thus saith Yahweh, the gates of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. Now, keep this in mind. Remember, Yahweh worked 6 days. Well, while He worked, the gate was shut. While you work, the gate must be shut. These gates are the beacon signal that Yahweh has hung in the heavens, and I'll prove it to you, that you must have the ability to hang your faith upon the things that are written in heaven, that the Father's given you a sign in the heaven. The moon was literally placed there as a sign. Now, if the wicked seek a sign, none will be given them except the signs that are specified. And I'll prove to you that the moon is a sign in the heaven. Now, if it's a sign, but on the Sabbath, it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon, it shall be opened. Now, let me show you something here. We know by the biblical evidence that the new moons were kept faithfully by the priesthood of the Levitical covenant. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, we're not under the Levitical covenant anymore. Yeah, but the signs are still there. Just because the Levitical covenant has been superseded by the new covenant doesn't mean that the truth of the Levitical sign that Yahweh put in the heavens has been taken out of the heavens. As long as there is a sun and a moon, the Bible said that he shall have Israel and a few people to worship him on these days that he has designated by the process of time. Now, let's read a little bit farther. It shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. Now, if it's opened in the new moon, then you're not to work. And if time would go from one day to new moon to a particular point to 2 days. Well, is there any reference, Pastor Buddy, in the Bible where that they observed the new moon Sabbaths? Of course there are. The Bible is full of the times and the commandments where they kept a new moon Sabbath. We could start in several places. We'll go to one in particular that very easy for you to find in the book of Numbers, chapter 29, verse 1. It says, this is the sign of the beginning of the festival of Tabernacle. It says, in the first day of the seventh month. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we know that Elizabeth was in the sixth month of her pregnancy when the angel Gabriel came to announce that Miriam would have a son, and we know the procedures of that great important announcement. Well, it's very important for her to be at the point of accepting the time. Well, we know that the symbology of the seventh month, that they blow the trumpet. Well, when a king is coming, a preparation is coming. The new moon is a preparation that the king wants you to observe and to be ready. So the new moon was a watch. We have watches on our wrists, but they're geared to a Babylonian time. If you have the watch of heaven, it is geared to the lunar cycles that are placed in heaven. I'll prove that to you just in a moment. Now, let's go from that point of reckoning to a time process where we get the four cycles after we work 4 weeks, or 4 weeks in the Sabbath, 4 sevenths is 28. Let's cycle it through one more time that you may know the cycling of the lunar. From a new moon, when it turns to first crescent, we go to work. So anybody around the earth, anywhere upon the earth, could see the first light of a crescent moon. That's a work day. When it comes to first quarter, you stop. When the light and the darkness across the globe is equal, you stop for the first quarter. And when the darkness has gone completely out of the moon, it's full. And then you would keep a Sabbath. So the fathers made it very, very easy to determine time, and its determination is for the benefit of the soul of Adam and his sons, who would not break the Sabbath as they did in Numbers chapter 15, verse 36, when they stoned them for breaking a Sabbath. Now, the Bible said they that broke Moses' law died without mercy. Now, did the Messiah keep the Sabbath when he came upon the earth? Of course he did. We find in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 23, that he was healing, and we know that this healing happened on the Sabbath. The Bible said it was. And on this Sabbath, they were circumcising. Well, circumcision was given for the eighth day. The eighth day being the day that we cycle here in the moon application. If you keep the new moon count 6 days, that's seven, and then you would worship on the eighth day. That's the day that Christ was healing on the Sabbath day. That's the day the Pharisees were circumcising on the seventh day. Ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't Saturday and it wasn't Sunday. I want you to know that the devil has taken us out of the correct time and put us into a time frame where that he would deceive the very elect if possible. But it's not possible if you'll study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, searching the scriptures and rightly dividing, do not add to and neither take from, but keeping the correct timepiece in the application of the new moon. Now, the new moon is something that was always a hindrance, a bothersome burden. They called it a burden. Now, let me show you something in a commerce, agricultural commerce. You see, the Israelites were restricted and bound not to work on the new moon. Well, today we care very little for any of the phases of the moon. We don't look that. We look to the Gregorian calendar that they have very conveniently hung on the walls, and we keep time by Gregorian. We keep time by what they say, not by what the Bible says. The Bible told the Israelites to keep the new moon and to refrain from working. It was the Sabbath. He didn't say keep my Sabbath. He said keep my Sabbaths. If we look in the book of the feast days in Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 18, thus saith Yahweh, in the first month, in the first day of the month, in the first day. Now, if we know the first month, Abib, the month of green ears, that's when we call the Passover acceptance of a first month. So, the Gregorian calendar gives us January as the first month. Actually, a difference of 90 days. Ladies and gentlemen, by taking us out of the accurate timepiece, they have changed times and laws, and they have got us worshiping the creature, and to do that, we deny the Creator. And that's exactly what it says in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5. Now, let me read to you in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5. The complaining Israelites, watching the competition of the other heathen nations round about as they sold their wares in the marketplace, the Israelites were bound by the laws of Yahweh to not work on the new moon. Now, when the moon was dark, they ceased their working. They could not work until that moon changed, perhaps 1 day, 2 days, and possibly 3 days, as it's demonstrated in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, verse 3, 2 and 3, where Paul did not depart from the synagogue, the church, the temple, the worship place, for 3 Sabbath days. These were not 21 days of the Gregorian calendar of time expanse. It was actually 3 days that he was there waiting for the moon to change. They wouldn't work, they wouldn't travel, they wouldn't do anything to violate Yahweh's laws, even in the days of the Apostle Paul. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 1, we know that the disciples went through the cornfields for 2 Sabbath days. That means on the new moon, the first day of the week, and then the second day, which was still dark, that they practiced pulling the heads of the corn, the wheat, as they went through the fields. They would pop them off, rub them in their hands, and eat them, and the Pharisees condemned them for doing that. That's when he said that he had made Sabbath for man. Well, the observance of time was still going on in lunar aspects, even in the days of the Messiah. So then, the first day of the month. When, what day is that? That's the day that time is in its sequential events of a dark moon. Now, we're going over to the 20th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I'd like to give you a verse of scripture there where that there was a transgression rebels in the nation of Israel. We still have them today. The Bible says that if you want to really look at the enormous penalty for those who would reject Yahweh, that we would say that disobedience is a form of witchcraft, rejection of His Word. It is written in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, that verse 38. Let me read. "And I will, since you will not keep my Sabbath," because the 20th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is solely on the breaking of His Sabbath. The Israelites begin to murmur and complain, as I quoted in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 5, and they complained by saying, "When will the new moon be gone that we can buy and sell?" Now, they were more interested in selling than they were buying, because selling produces a profit, buying is an expense. So they were interested in selling their agricultural or their commercial ventures, and when that came about with the lunar cycle of a new moon, they ceased labor, they ceased work, they ceased selling, because it was a commandment for them to keep the new moon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we don't keep it today. Most churches, most systems, not one government institution of time reckoning recognizes the new moon. As I said, the first month is the month of Abib, according to the Bible. That's the month of spring Passover. And how you determine that is you take the equinox, you take the first moon after equinox, and you count the time cycles. And that's exactly how time is kept by Yahweh. So the system of Babylon, which is confusion, which was Babel, He said, "I will purge from you and from among you the rebels, and them that transgress against me, I will bring them forth out of the country where they have journeyed. And they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am Yahweh." Now, what had they done? Well, we're going to go right here to the 8th chapter, or the 8th verse of the 20th chapter, in the same chapter, and we're going to read, "And they rebelled against me. They would not hearken unto me. And they did every man cast away Yahweh's laws to keep the abominations of their eyes." You know what that abomination was? The commercial trading and profit of the heathen nations round about that did not observe the waiting of the new moon. Sometimes the Israelites were forced to wait 3 days. Well, that's losing 3 days of profit, and it's hard for a man to take when he's in competition with the surrounding nations who were not Sabbath keepers or timekeepers by Yahweh, but were heathen who did not observe Yahweh's laws. Now listen to this. "They rebelled, and they looked at the abominations of the heathen round about, and they did not forsake their idols." And He says, "I will turn my wrath upon them." Now, the Bible says, "Tribulation and wrath to every man that walketh disorderly." So, if you're out of time sequence, you're in disharmony with the harmonization, or what we call the rest cycle that Yahweh is in. If you don't rest when He does, you've got the wrong time. You say, "Well, I rest on Sunday." That's not the Sabbath. You say, "I rest on Saturday." That's not the Sabbath. These are fictitious times that man has organized, and we can prove it, and we'll debate anybody in the land about this question. Let's go on down to, in the 20th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we're going to go into the 12th verse. "Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am Yahweh, that sanctifies them, I am Yahweh, that they may know that I am Yahweh, that sanctifies. You see, the Father has to approve your keeping of His laws. If you keep them out of sequence, you're not sanctified. If you keep them within the timeline of Yahweh, then Yahweh will bless you and sanctify it, and it shall, I will give them my Sabbaths to be a sign. Remember, a wicked nation seeketh a sign. Yahweh gave them a sign they wouldn't believe, and they broke Yahweh's laws to keep their own tradition and then asked for a sign of blessing. Everybody thinks that people that prosper by keeping these false days are doing good. The Bible says a man's salvation is not based on the abundance of the things he has, but big churches measure big progress, and rich people, the richer the person, the more higher the honor. But that's not necessarily true. When you're taken out of the time sequence of the commercial venture of Babylon, you suffer. They'll fire you. They won't hire you. You can't keep a job if you're in the cycle system of Yahweh's divine covenant laws. Remember, they stoned them for breaking these things. And the Bible said, they said, when will the new moon be gone that we can buy and sell on the Sabbath? Ladies and gentlemen, the same unbelief is in the land. We have changed Yahweh's times according to Daniel 7:25. We've changed His times and His laws. The law is the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. If you say you love Him and you won't keep Him, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you. If you'll keep His commandments, you cannot have fellowship with the world. You cannot serve Yahweh and the world. You have to choose between the time sequences that the Father's placed in the divine plan for a sign. Yahweh give it to you. He gives you four signs in the month. He gives you four signs in the month that you may have an opportunity to keep His laws. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to be the odd man out in this situation? Because straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. Are you going to keep the purpose that is proposed by Yahweh Himself? Or are you going to deny Yahweh's ways, form your own ways, break Yahweh's laws to keep man's tradition, and fill your face with shame? In that day, He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I closed the gate for you to work, and I opened the gate for you to rest. You worked on the open gate and rested on the closed. In other words, the cycle system was changed dramatically. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for you to keep the fourth commandment. If you'd like to know more about the true Sabbath day, you can write Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now let me repeat that slowly. If you're taking notes and you want to call or you want to write, that's Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Address your cards and letters or your inquiries to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me tonight, I would like for you to know that you can leave a message at this number, and I will return that call as soon as possible. After I get out of the fellowship of our cycle system here in Passover, where we're celebrating till the 19th of the month. So, if you'd like to call me, just call Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. Leave a message in voicemail, and we will get back to you as soon as possible. Now, be sure and write me. Just drop me a card. Would be more sure to get a hold of me. Write me a card or a letter. That's a Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip bin 37824. Now, if you would like to know more about the mysteries of the commandments, then you need to write or call Pastor Buddy as soon as you can. Ladies and gentlemen, we feel in our heart that is very, very important, for time is moving on. If you know the sequence of time, you know that time is running out. The Bible talks about that the time will come when time shall be no more. Do you know that your time could be any time? Did you know the Bible said it's once appointed unto a man to die, and after the death, judgment? You don't have an assurance of tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. If you hear His voice today through the pleading call of the return of the righteous people to come back to the Sabbath, to remember the Sabbath day, and to keep it holy, and you'd like to know the correct time sequence, just write or call Pastor Buddy. We'd be glad to share these marvelous, magnificent things about the truth of the Sabbath. Do not, and I repeat, do not let Satan take your crown. There's a crown laid up for them that love Him and for them that serve Him. If a man says that he loves Yahweh and won't keep the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath day and keep it all. You say, well, Pastor, but it doesn't matter. Just so you take one day out of the week and you recognize the Creator. Well, if you take a day out and the Creator doesn't recognize you, that's the important fact. It's not that you recognize or you're to be recognized in the day that you choose. You're to be recognized or sanctified, as the Bible says, in the day He chooses. The day He chooses is on the system of a lunar application of time. Come in today while it's light. There's a time coming when men will have to give an account. Bible said, for every deed done in the body and for every idle word that they speak, you must be able to give an account. Can you give an account for your Sabbath days? Are you sure? Are you in the Sabbath day? Are you doing it according to Ezekiel chapter 46, verses 1 and 2? Are you doing it according to Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12 that I just read to you? Or are you going to be like those that say and do not? If you're one of those, then the Bible says for you to repent and to turn from your wicked ways. And by doing so, you will have the faith that is extended to the saints. You'll have the right hand of the fellowship and the sanctification of your Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Well, Pastor Buddy, I've been with you. I've enjoyed every second of my time with you on WNQM 1300 AM in the Nashville area, wherever you may be listening, on the 50,000 watt powerful AM station, clear channel around the area, WNQM 1300 AM. Been a delight, been a joy, and I'll see you next Sunday night at 5 o'clock Central Time, 6 Eastern, on WNQM 1300 AM. Until then, happy Sabbath, and Yahweh bless you.